The opinions expressed in this podcast are individual and are not necessarily representative of Spirit Live or Toronto Metropolitan University. Thank you for listening. I don't know, I just clicked on it. He's just not that into you. I was pretty delusional at the time. Sounded like something I needed. You don't know when he's gonna text you, you know? He might text you, like, in a week. He might text you tomorrow. My life is a lie up until this point. Welcome to the final episode of the fall season of my podcast, He's Just Not That Into You. I'm your host, Rhea, and I'm actually not here with any guests this week because we're here for a special finale episode. And this one is titled, Life After He's Just Not That Into You. Now, this is a real chapter of the book, He's Just Not That Into You by Liz and Greg, and it's specifically by Liz, who shares her thoughts about what happens when people take the messages of this book and live their life with it. Now, for every other episode of this podcast, we've been focusing on my guests' experiences, and today I'm going to be telling you about my own and how it started, how it's going, and how this book has influenced my life. Now, I have a whole podcast based around this book, so obviously there's some influence that's happened with it. So to start off this episode, I wanted to read you guys a poem that I wrote last year. And this is titled, you can guess it, He's Just Not That Into You. She'd watch her favorite film a million times, missing the crucial message and longing for the happy ending. She'd read the self-help book it was based on, Girls Like Her and Their Mistakes to Learn From. But conveniently, the library would call it overdue. It would be out of her hands before she'd finish it. She'd hear a new relatable song about foolish ones and empty mailboxes, expecting confessions of love that won't come. She'd listen, but the lyrics would float right past her head, over her left unread text and the voicemail greeting she knew like her own name. Maybe she'd learn her lesson, but not yet. For now, she'd sit there, waiting, wishing, existing only in his peripheral. So, basically, I wrote that about kind of my experiences with the book and media kind of similar to the book. And I wanted to tell you guys a story about how I first got into this book, He's Just Not That Into You. How did it all come to be? So I was on a plane, and I don't know if this is just me, but movies I've seen on a plane end up being like life-changing. They become my favorite movies. All of my favorite movies I've seen on a plane. It's just like, I don't know, it's just how it is. Maybe it's because you have nothing else to do but watch the movie, but I don't know what it is. It's like life-changing. So I saw this movie, I don't know, I just clicked on it. He's Just Not That Into You. I was pretty delusional at the time. Sounded like something I needed, right? And so I start watching it, and then I'm like, wait a second, this is the realest thing I've ever seen. Like, it's crazy. Like, it's like everything that I'm currently like thinking and going through is like, it's like they're telling me exactly what I need to hear, you know? It was crazy. It was crazy. So I watched that movie, and then I got home and I watched it again, and I was like texting my friend about it, and I was like, oh my God, this is like the best thing I've ever seen. It's so real, and it genuinely, like, it changed my thinking. I just became so much less delusional. I was like, wait a second. Everything that I've been thinking and everything that I've been doing, like, if you haven't seen this movie, you need to watch it. It's really good. It's like the book, but like even cooler. I don't know. It's really cool. But basically, I watched that movie, and then I, you know, did some research into the movie, and I found out that it was based on a self-help book, He's Just Not That Into You. So then I went to the library and I got that book and I read it, and it was really, really good. It was really good. And it really got me thinking about, like, my own experiences and my, like, crushes and stuff at the time. And I was like, okay, I need to, like, take what they're telling me and actually apply it to my life. So then, you know, I returned that book to the library. And then for my birthday this year, my best friend Jackie, she was on the last episode, she got me the book for real, because, you know, it's a little activity book. I can, like, write in it now. I don't write in it, but, like, I could. Maybe I will someday. But, yeah, it's like, and now I can just read it whenever I want. And then when I got to thinking about what I wanted to make a podcast on, I was like, wait a second, this is, like, my dream. It's, like, adapting this book into another form of media, which is this podcast. And so that was really cool, and I've really enjoyed this season so far. and, you know, being able to create something like this. There was a point, though, before the book and when I first started, you know, getting into the movie and stuff, where I was, like, very delusional. And then I also heard this song by Taylor Swift. I'm not sure in the timeline when it came out. It was released in 2023, so it was on Speak Now, Taylor's version, and it's called Foolish One. And, you know, when I read this, when I listened to the song the first time, I was like, oh my God, she had to have watched the movie and then written this. Like, and it does kind of make sense in the timing, because, like, the movie came out, I think, 2009, and then, like, that's kind of when Speak Now was, like, she was writing it, so it made sense for it to be a vault song. So a big part of the movie, which I won't spoil it, but it's like one of the characters says, "You are not the exception," a lot. And in the song, that's like the chorus, it's like, and the voices say, "You are not the exception. You will never learn your lesson." She also says, "You give me just enough attention to keep my hopes too high. Wishful thoughts forget to mention when something's really not right." Because kind of the idea of this book is like, you know when something's not right, and you know that you deserve better. You're still like caught in this like longing because you want it still, you know, you still feel like whatever. And then you're foolish because you think that, okay, like maybe one day he's gonna realize, wait, he actually loves me, and wait, like, you know, like you're just waiting for that moment. And that's kind of what the song is about. And the song is really good. You should just listen to it, because I'm not going to read the entire song, but, you know, I should. And she also says, "Now I'm sliding down the wall with my head in my hands, saying, how could I not see the signs? You haven't ridden me or called, but goodbye screaming in the silence. And the voices in my head are telling me why." It's like, you know that Taylor Swift knows this, and that's why it's so good, because, like, it's so perfect for the book. It's so perfect for the book and for the movie. It's like there's all these signs, and then you're still like so delusional that you're like, okay, you know, you're making up all these excuses. You know, she leaves it with a little inspirational message that, you know, the day is going to come for your confessions of love, and he just wasn't the one, and, you know, there's still hope. And that's kind of the whole idea of this book and of this podcast, is that, you know, there's hope after this. Before I get into Liz's thoughts, I want to tell you guys a story that I heard the other day, and it's rough. Guys, it's rough. I went to the Eras Tour last week. Best thing ever. Guys, it was so good. It was so good. I know you're jealous. I know you're jealous, and I'm sorry, but it was really good. It was so good. Guys, I promise I'm the biggest Swiftie ever. I promise. But I was with my friend, and she was talking about how, guys, okay, to be clear, this is not Folklore Love Triangle related, but, like, I just can't think of any other name. So I'm just going to call my friend's friend, August, and then she was going with this couple, Betty and James. And so she was, like, low-key third wheeling because she was just there, but it was, like, it was fine. But what's crazy is that a really popular thing that's kind of started with the Eras Tour is proposals during the song Love Story. And it's really cute, and people will propose and take videos and stuff during Love Story, and then there's, like, it's cute. It's like he knelt to the ground and pulled out a ring, and then, you know, they propose. And so Betty thought that James was going to propose to her during Love Story, and she told this to August, and then August was also told by James that he was going to break up with her after the Eras Tour, and that this was going to be, like, their, like, last, like, fun day together before they break up. And that's so sad. But, guys, I can't do this. It was rough. That's rough. And this is real life, guys. This is real life. I don't know where they are now, but, yeah, it was crazy. And then, like, maybe she was delusional. Maybe that's, like, she definitely had a reason to think that, right? Because, like, you wouldn't just, like, I don't know. But, yeah, it was crazy. So, guys, good luck to Betty out there and James, you know. Like, at least you waited until the Eras Tour. Because imagine, like, I guess then she could have gone with someone else, you know. But, like, I don't know. Maybe he's a Swiftie, too. So, like, I can see the vision. Like, it's, like, that's cute. But then it's like, that's so rough. That's so rough. But anyways, that was just a little story. Before I get into what Liz in the book calls the stages of life after he's just not that into you. Now, guys, I don't even know. I was reading this and I don't know what stage I'm in. And you know what? Like, that's okay. Like, I'm not as wise as the authors. I don't know everything, but I'm learning as I go, just like you guys. And I probably won't know what stage I was in at different times until I'm, like, old and look back at my life. So you just gotta know your past stage one. And that's all. That's really where you just, like, have to start off, you know? And you can't go before stage one. That's, like, that's where, but you'll see. You'll see. We'll get into it. Liz is wise, and she has different stages, and so the first stage in life after he's just not that into you, once you've come across this book or the movie or even my podcast based on it, the first stage is exaltation, which just sounds like a Jesus thing, but that's real because the book is the Bible. And she describes this as when you realize that the authors are geniuses and this book is like the best thing you've ever read, and you realize that, which is like me for real, like, come on, that's all of us here, right? It's like when you like are like, wait a second, my life is a lie up until this point, and this is changing my life. And it's like you realize that whatever crush or relationship you have right now isn't going anywhere, and it makes you feel a whole lot better about yourself because you're like, I really took the time to realize this about myself, and I accepted this, and that's like, that's really cool. I'm proud of you for that. And then what kind of happens is the stage of loneliness. And now this is really sad because a lot of times that longing that you have and that like crush or relationship, a lot of times it's just entertainment for yourself, you know? It's like, it keeps you going and it lets you feel like there's hope for a good relationship for you somewhere. But like the idea, you know, it's, guys, I know you hear all the time, don't chase, just attract, you know? The moment you stop thinking about it is when it comes to you. And low-key, guys, it's real. Like, it's real. But also, it's like, maybe it's not going to happen right away, you know? It's like, you're, like, a lot of times that entertainment and, you know, like, you have, like, fun stuff in your life. You have, like, oh, this guy that you don't know when he's going to text you, you know? He might text you, like, in a week, he might text you tomorrow. Like, you don't know what's going to happen, and that's, like, enticing, that's entertaining, and you can tell your friends about it, and you're like, oh, do you think, like, whatever, you can place little bets. And that's fun for a bit, but then it starts to, like, hurt you, and it starts to make you feel like, you know, like, you got to know that you deserve someone who's going to actually, like, be consistent, and, you know, that's okay. And that might not come for a while. But there is that stage where you're like, wait, this is sad because, like, you know, now you don't have that. And you can, like, guys, having a relationship isn't the only thing to make you not lonely, you know? Like, you also just gotta, like, you spend time with yourself, you spend time with your friends, you spend time with your family. Like, there's lots of ways that you can, you know, not feel lonely. But you could also feel lonely in this certain part of your life. So that's real. But you also gotta know that, like, when you, like, get these standards that you're getting after reading this book or listening to the podcast or whatever you're doing, once you get those standards and realize that you deserve someone, like, that would treat you well, you also kind of get a sense of confidence. And you're like, wait a second, I don't need to be, like, you know, feeling so low about this always. Because it's like, yeah, you're having fun, but you're also not really, you know? And then Liz has this third stage, which is temptation. And it's, you will meet someone who you really like and who comes up with a really good excuse. So, you know, maybe they did something in the book. They didn't call you, they didn't ask you, whatever, but they came up with a really good excuse for it. And you allow yourself to fall for it because sometimes you do just need to see things as more than black and white because life isn't black and white. And the book can't really tell you, like, the truth or the not truth because it's like, it's not really like that, you know? There's so much more to every situation than, like, someone else or something could tell you that doesn't know the situation, you know? Only you and the other person know it best. So it's like, you know, that temptation might be real, might not be, but, you know, it's like, that's something. And then temptation number two, which is like when you're like hanging out with someone who you know isn't into you, so at least you're not being delusional about it. But the thing is, it still hurts your feelings. No matter how hard you try to detach yourself from it, it makes you feel silly because you know how to prevent it. You know, like you know that you shouldn't be doing it, but you're still doing it. And, you know, guys, I don't know that much. I'm not that wise. So I don't know. You probably won't know what stage you're at when you're in it. Like, maybe you will, but maybe you think this is like, you know, the next stage. You don't know. But that's fine, guys. It's fine. Because at the end of the day, this is the final stage balance. At the end of the day, it's your life, and only you get to decide what you do with it. So you might go against the book. You might. And you might go against the book with the idea that you could be the exception to the rule. But, you know, we heard what Taylor Swift said, but, you know. You gotta realize still that loneliness is better than a situation that's constantly hurting you. It's kind of like, I don't know, it's all up to you. It's like you're the one deciding if what you're doing is like helping or harming you, you know? Basically, the idea that Liz leaves us with is that you gotta come back to the book at some point and remember that you're worth it the whole time. You gotta remember, you know, you're making these decisions, but you know what you actually deserve, and you know that you're worth it, and that's all you gotta know. That's really all you gotta know. So it's been really fun making this podcast and pretending like I know all, and I don't. But it was really fun doing it and having guests on and stuff. And I hope I'll come back for another season, but I'm not sure where the world will take us. But yeah, thanks for listening. If you've listened to every episode, that's really cool of you. And if you haven't, if you just listened to one, that's also really cool, because thank you. I'm just silly, making silly podcasts, and I've just been talking to myself for like 30 minutes, which is really funny, and I've just been looking at myself in this like screen. So yeah. And you know, tell me about your stages of life in the comments that we don't have, you know, direct message me, you know how it is. But yeah, that's basically what I want to leave you with, and I hope that we all end up in the balance stage at some point, and maybe you're in it, maybe you're not, and you know, that's life. Guys, I literally don't want to end this episode because that means that the podcast is over for the season at least, and that's really sad, and it was really fun doing it, but yeah, bye!